Take your Bibles, go to the book of 1 John. That's not the Gospel of John. You'll go towards the book of Revelation and back up a few pages. Book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 5 this evening. We'll read verses 1 through 6 responsively. I'll begin reading on verse number 5 and you'll join me. Verse number 2, we'll read like that all the way through verse number 6. 1 John chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, it would be wrong for us not to pause and just say thank you for a moment, Lord, for all that you've done for us today. Lord, we truly do want to give you the glory and the honor for everything that's taken place here today. Lord, it's amazing how when we obey the word of God that we reap the blessings and the benefits from it. Lord, we loved people, we taught the word of God, and we saw the results. Lord, you drew men to yourself today, both those that were lost and, Lord, those that were saved. We saw hearts stirred and lives changed. But Lord, this morning's blessings won't do for tonight. Lord, there's a new group of people. Lord, there's a new need. Lord, there's a new truth that you have for us from your word. We'll yield ourselves to you as we hear the word of God being preached. And we'll ask that you'll minister our hearts this evening. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
I want to help you tonight. Leave your Bible open. We'll come back to it. I'm going to start with a little bit of a story, a testimony of some things in my past that illustrate and help. I don't say these things because I'm somebody. I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner like everybody else. But God says we speak the things that we have seen and heard. And I think those are the best illustrations. As a 13-year-old boy, I had the opportunity in my church. Of course, I went to church. I'm 54 years old and I've been going to church for 55 years. Say, preacher, how's that happen? I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I've been in church my whole life. But when I was actually, before I was 13, we had a group called Bearing Precious Seed that came to our church. And there was a group, they came and said, look, for $300, you can take a 2-week trip and go to Mexico and do work on the mission field and come back. And, oh, I wanted to go, but they said you had to be 13. Oh, what a bummer. Nothing worse than being an almoster, you know? So I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked the next year. Saved. And by the way, $300 back then was a lot of money for a teenager. That was back in 19, none of your business, 1980. And, but there was, Bearing Precious Seed was coming back the next year. And I think we went down in July, and there was a man named Carlos Demarest. He was the leader that would oversee these groups. And Brother Carlos was, let me read what I wrote here. He was a loud, energetic, shouting Baptist preacher. He was one of the most amazing soul winners I have known in my entire life. I've met Carl Hatch. I've known Carl Hatch. I'd put Carlos Demarest side by side with Carl Hatch, and I think Brother Carlos would edge him out. He was just one of those kind of guys. I don't know that I ever met a man more fervent about winning souls than Carlos Demarest. I watched that man. We broke down on the side of the road with a big bus out in the middle of God knows where, Oklahoma. He was talking to somebody on a pay telephone. He was talking to the operator. He said, "Ma'am, I don't have any money to make the call, but I need help." He said, "You don't understand. I'm a Baptist preacher. By the way, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" She said, "No, I watched that man win her to Christ without a quarter in the phone." Then she passed him through to a place to help come get us and rescue us and get the bus going. I watched him do it. Say, "Preacher, that did." Yes, it did. I don't remember. It was Oklahoma. That's all I know. It was about 120 degrees out. It was hot. Now, I surrendered to preach while I was in Mexico. Brother Carlos did not preach that service. It was actually in a little church in Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. A man named Ron Cunith was the missionary there. He preached in Spanish that night. I watched an entire group of Spanish folks. I didn't hear one thing that cotton. I didn't know any Spanish. You know, comida, food. Baño, bathroom. Two important words. Food and bathroom, amen? Got to have those two words to make it in a foreign country, trust me. But other than that, I really didn't know much Spanish. But I watched what God did and watched people get saved, and God moved in my heart. And I remember going forward at the end of that invitation, not knowing one thing the preacher preached. I mean, nothing. I began to weep, and my youth pastor came up and he put his arm around me. He said, "Son, what's the matter?" And I said, "I don't know, but I feel like I'm going to die." And he said, "Well, pray." I said, "I have been." So he prayed. He said, "What's the Lord want you to do?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, pray again." He finally said, "Son, God's calling you to preach. How about you answer?" I said, if he'll stop this feeling, I'll do it." And he said, "God's called you to preach, son." I said, "All right, I'll give it. I'll do whatever. If he'll take me, I'll do it." Brother Carlos loved me. That fiery old preacher. He was tough as nails. Yeah, I'm not sure he was a drill instructor, but he may have been in a before life. He used to call me the burning bush. I surrendered to preach that night, and my youth pastor, I got up, snot dripping, tears dripping. He said, "Good, you're preaching on the bus tomorrow." Okay, I preached my next first sermon the very next day. Do you know that book's real big, and it took me all night long to find something to say? All those words, and I couldn't figure out what to do, but we got through it. Brother Carlos used to call me the burning bush. He'd see me and say, "Hey, how's the burning bush?" I started to work for Brother Hiles. Brother Carlos was an older man, much older. I looked him up and I called him. I said, "Brother Carlos, you might not remember me, but this is Craig Bush. Is this the burning bush?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Where are you, brother?" I told him that I was working for Brother Hiles, and he said, "Hold on a minute." And he put the phone down, and I could hear him shouting. He was bouncing around the room, shouting, having a glory spell. That old man lit a fire in my soul that could not be quenched. We would go to a restaurant, and we'd have 20, 30 people on that bus. We'd be standing in a restaurant, and he'd say, "Time to sing, y'all." And he'd just break out in song, and he expected you to sing. And if not, you sang all the verses to the songs. And then he'd go around passing out tracts, winning people to the Lord while everybody else is eating. It was amazing. Everybody I ever talked to that knew Carlos Demarest, every person, they got the gospel. Didn't matter who you were. I remember when my dad met him. He said, "Are you the burning bush's dad?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you saved?" Am I right? First words out of his mouth. I mean, it was just like, come on. I remember I went that year. I went back the next year. I was down there. He looked at me, he said, "Son," he said, "how'd you like to stay for a few extra weeks?" I said, "Well, sir, I don't have the money." He said, "Do you have your dad's phone number?" I said, "I do." He said, "Let me call your folks." He called, and I think my dad sent him some money, and I stayed and helped two or three extra weeks down in Mexico. I was working in churches, and we were building buildings, and we were having open air meetings. I saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved. It was unbelievable. Brother Carlos, he would holler. Now, he was an old-fashioned shouting Baptist. But he often hollered this. My dad's going to laugh. He has no idea I'm preaching this. But just out of the blue, he'd say, "Well, glory, you got the victory." I don't know that's fighting, but he'd greet you and he'd say, "Well, glory." He said, "Brother, you got the victory." That's how, am I right, Dad? I'm not lying. Finally, one day, after about 300 times of him saying that, I said, "Brother Carlos, what do you mean about the victory?" He took me to 1 John chapter 5. And it says, verse 4, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." He said, "I'm tired of these pussyfooting, ear-tickling Christians with a long face." He said, "You got the victory." I remember one night, these guys were nuts. Okay, this should not be repeated, but we had a big old 1960 style pusher GMC bus, you know, with the engine in the rear end, like a city bus. That's what we drove all the way to Mexico and back. We pushed it more than we drove it. 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody's on the bus, you know. You got the driver awake and one other person to make sure the driver's awake. Well, Brother Carlos was driving. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard, "Well, glory, y'all got the victory." And, you know, what happened? He said, "Brother Rick, get up here." And Brother Rick ran to the front of the bus. He stands up while he's driving. Brother Rick slid in the seat. He let go of the steering wheel, walked away. And Brother Rick grabbed on. Here we go. Going down the highway, 70 mile an hour. You ought not do that, but you get the victory real quick just in case, all right? He'd get up and he'd start singing and he'd start preaching at 2 o'clock in the morning. God gave him a thought and he'd go and preach it. What was Brother Carlos asking in that question? You got the victory? What did he mean by, "Do you have the victory?" He was asking if we were going to let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God control our life or our flesh. Are you going to win the victory of letting the Spirit control you or your flesh to control you? Are you going to let the Word of God have the victory in your life or your own personal desires to have the victory? Oh, it was convicting. God tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, that the faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Church, listen to me for a moment. We live in dark days. We live in evil days. They are after your children, the alphabet soup, LGBTQ, alphabet soup people, the liberals, the communists and the socialists, they are coming after your children. You don't understand. The alphabet soup people have an agenda to steal your children through our public school system. Trust me. They even have songs about it. How do you get the victory? God says our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Can I tell you the safest way to have victory over the world? Get saved and enjoy being saved. It is our faith that gives us the victory over the world. The world may take your money. The world may take your popularity. The world may take your happiness, but they can't take your salvation away from you. And it doesn't matter what happens. Guess what? I read the last chapter. We win. And I got the victory. I don't know about you, but I got the victory. You don't have to live under the oppression of this world and the world system. You don't have, well, under the circumstances. Well, get out from underneath them and get on top. Amen. I don't care about your circumstances. I do, but not to the point where it drives you down spiritually. Right. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. You want to answer my phone calls for a week? I wish you knew how much negative these ears have to take in. But I am not about to let that steal my victory. Guess what? My name's written in heaven. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. The past ones, the current ones, and the ones I'm about to do. I will have an eternal home in heaven. There ain't nothing the devil can do to take it away. On him. Can I tell you something? Why do we walk around, I'm just a Christian, everything's so bad. Good night. Did you hear what Brother Jackson said last week? He talked to a very high official in our government that said there was a day when the government was afraid of the church. They're not afraid of the church anymore. I said it back at 9/11. Problem today is not the White House, it's the church house. It's a bunch of sissy britches, lace underwear, and preachers and preacherettes who are afraid to tell the truth. Amen. You say, well, I don't think you ought to say that, preacher. Then don't. I will. You can have the victory that overcomes the world. Victory that overcomes the world. You don't have to be depressed by listening to the news. Don't listen to it. You're the one that turned it on. Well, it's just so depressing. Then don't listen to it. Why do you get so wound up with it? I don't know about you, but I want victory over the world. Man, when I walk in public, I'm having a good time. I was somewhere recently and somebody said, are you a preacher? I said, I am. They said, we could tell. I said, how could you tell? You're different. I said, describe that word different. I know what it means to me, but what does it mean to you? You know, different to me is, you know, green and purple and yellow hair and looks like you got in a fight with a pop rivet gun all over your face and a weed eater hit you in the head and got stuck on fast forward. You know, wait a minute. I know what different means, but people ought to look at you. People ought to hear you. People ought to be around you. Hey, I'm glad when I go to a place of business and there's business people there. When they call me Pastor Bush. I don't ask them to do it. They do it on their own. And they'll say often, this is one of the happiest men I've ever met. Man, I hope maybe someday if this old body holds out, when I die, people are going to say he brought some joy and enjoyment to our life, but brought some truth that will change eternity because of it. Let me hurry here. I got 20 minutes. Number one, we are in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. May I say this? We didn't start it. They did. My daddy taught me a long time ago, don't start a fight, but if one started and you walk away, I'm going to whoop you. Well, folks, the battle lines have been drawn. We didn't draw them, but it's time for the Christians to fight. Amen. We've had too many sissy britches Christians that are afraid to speak up. Now is the time to speak up. Now is the time to be bold. Not, well, I don't want to offend somebody. Can I tell you something? Their immorality offends me. Amen. Two men kissing each other offends me. Two women kissing each other offends me. People that don't know if they're a man or a woman offends me. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. Communism offends me. Socialism offends me. Hating God offends me. They'll use our God's name in vain. How about they use their God's name in vain? Why do you want to curse our God? By the way, America was founded on this book and godly principles and God himself. Amen. Don't believe the lie of the revisionist telling you, well, our forefathers really weren't Christians. They were deists. That's a filthy lie. Amen. just so you know. The world is at battle with God and Christians and anything spiritual pertaining to God. You can talk about anything in public, but bring up God and watch everything. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. Watch me. You quit talking about your filth. You quit talking about your immorality. You quit talking about all the evil. And then I'll think about, stop talking about God. Until then, shut your mouth. Amen. You say, you're that way, preacher? Yes. Somebody's got to step up for the truth. It is the devil who runs the world. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to show you some verses here. And we've got to hurry, so lick your finger or lick somebody else's finger. And here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who's it talking about, the God of this world? The devil. The devil is the God of this world. By the way, don't you believe the lie of religion that says God's in control of everything. There is a God of this world. John chapter 12. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look at verse number 31. John chapter 12, verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Guess who the prince of the world is? The stinking, filthy devil. Look at John chapter 14, verse number 30. John chapter 14, verse number 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Ooh, that's talking about the devil again. John chapter 16, look at verse number 11. John chapter 16, verse number 11, the Bible says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of the world is the devil. The world and the devil are enemies of God. Look at Acts chapter 13, just a few pages over. Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 10. Acts chapter 13, verse number 10, the Bible says this, as soon as I can find it, there it is. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Whew. Child of the devil. Who is that? People that are lost. The world. James chapter 4, just Hebrews, James, right before where we were tonight in 1 John. James chapter 4, verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be friends of the world is the enemy of God. I'm just going to say this. That's why this church isn't going to act like the world. Churches that bring the world's music and the world's ways into the church are the enemy of God. It's not godly. It's not spiritual. God says if you're friendly with the world, you're an enemy of God. Everybody doing okay? Hang in there. This battle is not going to end. Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 8, don't turn there. Well, let me quote it. The Bible says there is no discharge in that war. Can I tell you something? There is no discharge in this battle against the world. We are going to fight it with every breath of our body until we take our last breath, or we go up in the rapture and take our last breath here and take our first breath halfway up. Because some of you are going to be sucking air on the way up. Wait a minute. Brother Jackson's afraid of heights. That ought to be funny during the rapture. Amen. I think it's so funny. 6'9", 6'10", and he's afraid of heights. That does not make sense. Somebody's Jennifer size ought to be afraid of heights, not Brother Jackson's size. You know, there is not going to be an end to this battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. Well, I just wish it would stop someday, preacher. It's not going to. God said it would wax worse and worse, not get better and better. Proof that evolution's wrong. Just so you know. The more we do for God, the more the battle's going to come. Did you know the more this church does and the more people we reach, the more battles we're going to face? You have to understand something. You say, well, it just seems like there's so many more problems today than there were before. Do you know how many more people are alive today than when you were a kid? In my lifetime, America's population has more than doubled. And my dad, from the time my dad was born, it's almost tripled. Yes, there's more problems. There's more people. Whew, excuse me. There are so many more people. When we worked in Indiana and our church ran 25,000 people. You have to understand something. Our church ran more people than live in the city of Martinsburg. Imagine how many people were in the hospital at one time at that church. Imagine how many people died in that church every week. We faced it constantly. And if you weren't careful, you'd say, man, what's going on? Well, this is bigger than a lot of cities in America. It wasn't unusual to have 40,000 people in church on a Sunday. Hagerstown, 76,000. In two Sundays, we had more people in church than live in Hagerstown. Now think through that once. There was always somebody dying, lots of people sick, lots of people in the hospital. Say why? Because there's a lot more people. Don't get down because you see those things happen. You see more and more people, and where there's more and more people, there's more and more sin. And the effects of sin. It's going to get that way. So the devil only battles that which hurts him. When our church starts doing more and starts bothering the devil, guess what? He's gonna bark. You corner an animal and you hurt an animal, and if it's not dead, it's gonna snap at you. The Lord allowed me to shoot a deer yesterday with my bow, and I never approach a deer without caution. I've seen them things kick. And they can kick your snot right out of you and cut your guts open. You say, what do? You approach from the backside, and amen, Brother Steve? I knew that thing was dead, but I always treat it like it's alive, just in case. You want to hear a grown man scream like a little girl? Walk up on something you think's dead, and it comes back alive. And it's dark outside. Amen? I don't care who you are, you're going to scream. Good thing is nobody's there to hear you, but I approached and I walked up behind it and I kicked it and it didn't move, and I kicked it again and it didn't move, and I walked around from the backside and grabbed the horns and shook it and it didn't shake back, and I said, success. But it was dead. Can I tell you something? But if that thing wasn't dead, it was going to be kicking. Going to be ramming its head at me with all them antlers coming at you. And that's not what you want to happen. Well, what do you think? The devil's not bothering the churches that aren't doing anything. Well, it seems like every once in a while our church faces some attack. That means we're going the right direction. Can I tell you something? The devil doesn't like losing anything. Take the battle as an honor, not a punishment. Well, I don't know why this is happening to me. Maybe God wants you to be honored with it instead of in the mully grubs. Maybe you ought to say, maybe I did something to where I got the devil's attention. And a flat tire is not the devil. A battery that won't start your car is not the devil. When you stubbed your toe at 2 a.m. going to the bathroom, it wasn't the devil. You didn't have your glasses on and you were half asleep. You woke up real fast, but it wasn't the devil. Wait a minute. Maybe it's like Job, and God had enough confidence in you to take it. Maybe you ought to lift yourself up and say, at least I'm going the right direction, and maybe God wants to do something through this. I guess I'll just keep on going and not complain about it. So We're in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me ask you a question. You got the victory? You got the victory?
Amen.
Number two, we don't get the victory in the flesh. We get it in the spirit. Now it's going to hurt. God's kingdom is not this world. Turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I want you to see something here. John chapter 18, look at verse number 36. And I'm going to read before you get there. You can mark it. But John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world right now." Now, one day he'll set up on the throne in Jerusalem. That's called the millennial reign. For 1,000 years, he'll rule and reign this earth from the Temple Mount in Israel right now. But until then, this world is not under the rule of Jesus himself or God.
Right.
Turn to John chapter 6, just back a few pages. John chapter 6, look at verse number 28. John chapter 6, verse number 28. I guess I better lick my finger here. John chapter 6, verse number 28. Bible says this. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" That wasn't the verse I was looking at. That's verse 28. Look, let's see verse 33. "Then it's in the Lord." That's not the one I wanted. But anyway, I'll figure it out later. All right. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I can't read my own handwriting, and sometimes it gets me, amen? That's what you get for handwriting your sermons and not printing them out with computers, but my pen never breaks down. I want you to notice something here. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." "For I say this through the grace given unto me." Wait a minute. What grace given unto you? Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Wow. So God says, when you get saved, we are to have our minds transformed. We are not to think like the world thinks. Folks, I don't want to think like this world thinks. I want nothing to do with the way this world thinks. I was out recently in public somewhere, I won't tell you where I was at, and there was a group of younger people there, and they looked like they had just come from some sodomite weirdo convention or something. I mean, you couldn't tell the males from the females and who was with what, and all the different colored hair and all the weird stuff, and I mean, it was a mess, and I'm just watching them. And one of them got a little brash and said, "You looking at something?" I said, "Yeah, but I can't figure out what." He said, "Well, you're the weird one. You got a shirt and tie on." I said, "Did you look in the mirror?" I said, "You think I'm weird? You're probably one of those Christians, aren't you?" I said, "I'm more than that. I'm a Baptist preacher." Man, they beat feet and got out of there in a hurry. They didn't want to talk to me anymore. I said, "Preacher, does that bother you?" "No, I like watching them run. Throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit, amen?" Yark, yark. On they went. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." God talks about what the works of the flesh are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. By the way, that sounds like your average news report to me, doesn't it? So why are we watching those things thinking that it's going to help us? But verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That does not sound like the news. We wonder why we Christians walk around without the victory, because we're listening to the works of the flesh, not the works of the Spirit. How about we pay more attention to the Spirit than the flesh? Well, I've got to know what's happening in the news. You really think they're going to tell you the truth? You can't even believe Lion Lou Scally with the weather. We are no match for the devil. We are no match for our flesh. The flesh goes against the Spirit. So when the flesh tells you to do something, if you do the opposite, you're probably about right. When you're hungry, if you go against what the flesh says and do what the Spirit says, you're less apt to have troubles. Ouch, that one hurt, didn't it? Yeah. When we find what the Spirit wants, you'll find it in the Word of God. You'll find it at the house of God with the preacher that's preaching the Word of God, the real Word of God, not some pansy little sermonette that he got off the internet. We are no match for sin and evil. You're no match for the devil. Please listen to me. I mean this, and I'm preaching. I'm saying this to me as much as I am to you. If we can't conquer our own flesh, what makes you think you can conquer the devil? If you took your shirt off, you don't have an S on there for super Christian. None of us do. Spiritual warfare is not seen. I was talking to that 88-year-old pastor this week. I talked to him on, on Wednesday. Now, Thursday morning, I was here early, and I knew he, older couple, and I knew he wouldn't be up and about at 5:30 in the morning like I am probably. But about 8:30, 9 o'clock that morning, I had called and left a message for him, and he called me back. And I picked up the phone. I said, "Preacher," I said, "I just want you to know. I said, God laid you on my heart early this morning. I've been praying for you and your wife." That old man began to weep. He said, "Preacher, I had the worst night we've had with her. She was out of her mind. She was hallucinating." He said, "I had to call the nurse in." He said, "I've been up all night with her." He said, "I thought we were going to lose her." He said, "I can't believe you would take time to call me." He said, "It's of God that you called me." He said, "About 5:30, I said, God, I need something from you today. I don't even know what I need." I said, "Well, Doc, at 5:30, I was praying for you. God had the answer. I just had to wait till I knew you were awake to get it." I had a meeting going on at my office. I had stepped out of to take the phone call. I was walking across the back of the auditorium here. And I said, "Preacher, would you let me pray with you?" And I began to pray with him. I heard that old preacher crying on the telephone. I said, "Amen," and he began to pray. I stopped walking. He said, "Amen," and he said, "Preacher," he said, "he just gave me the energy to get through another day." I said, "No, God did." I said, "I just got to be the vehicle to deliver it to you." Can I tell you something? We're no match for the devil. Spiritual warfare is hard. Spiritual warfare is not seen. Fighting an enemy you can't see is tough. Talk to our men that have been in battle, like Vietnam, like Brother Randall. You fight an enemy you can't see. It takes its toll. You wonder why preachers are a little weird at times. We're fighting battles we can't even see. And it doesn't stop. The attack never stops. But can I tell you something? Well, glory, you got the victory. I got the victory, Brother Carlos. Number three. I'm about to shout. Number three, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. This faith, my friend, is not the power of positive thinking. Oh, I just think God's going to deliver me and I've got the faith. That's not what it's talking about here. Notice the beginning of verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It is by getting saved and knowing you're saved that you get the victory over the world. Folks, if you'd start telling folks about Jesus, you'd start overcoming the world. If you start telling people how to get saved, you'd find the victory and you'd shout like Brother Carlos, well, glory, you got the victory. You say, why? Because everywhere he went, he was telling somebody how to get saved. And let me tell you something. Somebody gets saved, you're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. You're just ready to go. You say, why? Because not only has their faith been enacted, but yours has been strengthened, and you get to relive that experience all over again, and all of a sudden, all that faith starts saying, I could do it again. I could make it again. Victory is a result of battle, not sitting on the couch. Victory comes by fighting, not by doing nothing. Churches that teach, and it's all they do is fill people's head with knowledge, but they don't go out and use it, don't have victory over the world. You watch a church that starts stopping ministries, starts stopping soul winning, becomes culturally acceptable, I'll show you a church that loses its victory. I don't care how big the crowd is, the size of the crowd does not make a church successful. Victory means conquer, vanquish, prevail, subdue. It means fight like a dog. Not like a chihuahua. Somewhere yesterday and there was this little dog. I guarantee I've eaten hot dogs bigger than that thing. There wasn't enough meat on that dog to even... It was chicken nuggets. I mean, and I'm not sure it was more than a 3-pack. Can I tell you something? I looked at that thing and the owners, I said, you ain't nothing but a mop with no handle. They kind of giggled. I wasn't laughing. I was serious. They said, well, I don't think it'll bite you. I said, I got cowboy boots on. That thing doesn't have enough teeth to get through my boots. Trust me. You get a big old bulldog out there, we might wrestle a little bit, but that little thing couldn't get past my skin, let alone my cowboy boot. And if it started, it was going to get a cowboy boot. We'd be washing walls with that thing. Victory comes by faith. And that faith isn't power of positive thinking. It is your salvation. Well, I just don't know what we're going to do, preacher. Well, how about you tell God how much you enjoy being saved? How about you get in love with the fact that you're saved, your sins are forgiven, and go tell somebody else how to get that gift. And that is the faith that overcomes the world. By the way, you get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Guess what? Your faith is increased as you get in your Bible. Get in your Bible every day. Read it every day. Love it. Memorize it. Do things with it. Live it. Let me ask you a question. Hey, you got the victory? Did you read your Bible today? You got the victory? Have you told somebody about Jesus this week? You got the victory? I'm going to say this. Doesn't mean you're going to win all the battles, though. You're going to lose some battles. There's going to be people you love that won't get saved that you're witness to. That's the hardest thing in the world for me. I don't understand why people won't get saved. I really don't. It bothers me. But Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and go talk to somebody to listen to you. Don't waste all your time on one person. Go, there's somebody willing to listen to you. Go find somebody willing to listen to you. And I really believe if we keep finding people that will listen to us, those that we want to hear it eventually will say, they have something I want to hear. My wife has an uncle that, oh, he was hardcore Catholic. He wasn't just Catholic, he was Catholic. I mean, hardcore. He looked at me when we first were married and stuff, and he said, I've heard all that stuff. He said, I'm Catholic. He said, I don't believe your kind. Well, after 32 years of marriage, several funerals, I was preaching a funeral one day for a family member, and I watched him get saved.
Amen.
Say, why? Because I didn't stop at just him. I kept telling other people about it. By the way, that man loves me to death. I could pick up my phone right now and say, I need you, and he'd be here tomorrow. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Say, how'd that happen? Faith that overcame the world. Now, he still doesn't understand me all the way. My wife doesn't do that either. So. Do you know what the word overcome means? It means to come over. It means to be victorious. It means beating your opponent and standing over top of them.
Amen.
I've boxed. I enjoy boxing. Now, I don't enjoy headshots. When I boxed, I did it for exercise. We didn't do headshots. But I remember boxing. I was boxing with a fellow assistant pastor. We had the groin belts on. He had a flak jacket on so that you don't, you know, we weren't in business to hurt each other. We were just exercising. Work out for 30 minutes and go three rounds in a boxing ring. We're dancing around. Pow, pow, pow. Boom. He's got the headgear on. I hated that stuff. Wouldn't wear it. We were getting into it, and I was getting my strength back up, and I was fairly strong. We were boxing one morning about 6 in the morning, and all of a sudden I came with an undercut with my right hand, and I hit him right at the base of the waist. And the next thing I knew, he was on his knees. I said, Roy, you okay? He said, hold on. He said, I'm okay. And he gets up. He said, do you realize you're the first person to ever put me down on my knees? He said, don't swing that right hand unless you really want to do damage. He said, man. He said, it's not that it hurts so bad, but it just took my feet out from underneath me. He said, when you hit me, he said, all my strength went, and I folded up. He said, that's never happened to me before. Well, it happened to him once again afterwards. Not the same day. You say, what was that? He went down. I looked over top of him. That's what God says. When we start exercising our faith, we will overcome the world and the world system. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, guess what? This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. This is a journey to get me to my eternal home. Amen. Hey, God not only wants you to get the victory, he wants you to use your faith in him with his spirit to help others overcome this world. God didn't give you the Holy Spirit just for you. He gave it to you to help others get him. Faith is trusting in the word of God. Faith is trusting in the man of God who preaches the word of God to obey God. One of these days, death or the rapture will give us complete victory. I don't know about you, but when I go up in the rapture, I want to do one thing on my way up. I want to sound like a balloon letting out air all the way. I'm ready to blow this place, amen? Y'all can have it. Dog biscuits are under the sink. You can clean up the mess. One of these days, we're going to have complete victory.
Amen.
But until then, He's given us everything we need to have the victory. I'll never. Brother Carlos has been in heaven for years. He's one of only a few men that he married his first wife, Martha. She died and married another lady named Martha. He didn't have to change names for his wife. neat man. Well, glory, you got the victory. Hey, Burning Bush, you got the victory. Hadn't seen him in 25 years. 20 years. Brother Carlos, Brother Craig Bush. Is this the Burning Bush? Yes, sir. He said, still got the victory? I said, still got the victory, preacher. Let me ask you a question, Grace Baptist Church. Do you got the victory? Do you have the victory that overcomes the world? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.